We walked into church this morning on this fifth Sunday of Lent, which begins that season within the season called Passiontide. And the immediate reaction of the senses is one of strangeness. The crosses, the images, and the statues, they're all covered. As we begin a fast, even from the beautiful visible things that remind us of the reality of the invisible realm. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Scarcely 3 years before, Jesus told his mother at the wedding at Cana, "My hour has not yet come." And yet, here it was now. Jesus was about to be crowned. The coronation of earthly kings is preceded by so much pomp and circumstance, glitz and glamour, and excitement at such a dignified event that an entire country of those subject to the monarch's rule can participate in. The whole point is to be visible, for authority to be recognized and strengthened through manifestations of power. The son of the carpenter from Nazareth prepares for his coronation as intrigue and betrayal hover near like so many dark clouds encircling him with so much gloom. Evil is about to have its day, or so it seems. But Jesus would have put upon his head not a diadem of gold and gems, but a crown of thorns. And the jewel in that crown would be the drops of his precious blood that would flow forth from a heart bruised for our offenses, until there was nothing else for him to give. Worldly sovereigns take up the crown that is offered to them and put it on their heads every time they exercise their authority. King Jesus, son of David, would bow his head in humiliation as soldiers mocked him and gave him a reed as a scepter and brambles as a curious hat. "Are you then a king?" Pilate asks him on the Lithostratus. "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And so the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of his own free will, delivers himself over to his enemies, and through them to the ancient enemy, Satan, to die. We talk a lot nowadays about the mystery of evil, but you know, there's actually no mystery to it at all. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Let's get real. We sin because we want to. We sin because we choose to. We sin because we love it, don't we? And we think that by doing so, we're going to have just a little bit more life in us. But that isn't the case. Jesus shows us that if we want to have life and have it abundantly, we have to die to self, take up our cross, and follow him. We follow him to Golgotha not just by commemorating his way of the cross during Lenten devotions. We walk with him all the way to Calvary and to the tomb by repenting from our sins, being transfigured through the change of mind to follow the royal road of the cross, by worshiping with reverence the living God and allowing ourselves to be enlightened by the Spirit of truth. We accept and use wisely these gifts of this Lent called life. You thought after 40 days Lent was going to be over. My dear friends, this entire life is one long Lent. But then we're called, as we use those gifts of this very Lenty sometimes life, we're called to give of ourselves entirely for love without holding anything back, just as Jesus did for us. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. When our Lord has put that crown upon his head, he turns the whole world upside down. He turns upside down everyone's notions of greatness, power, majesty, awe, and glory. Whoever wants to be first must be last. And whoever wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all. He taught us that not by nice, beautiful words, but by example. Go and do likewise. The consummate and consummating gift of Lent is indeed our glorification. But that glorification doesn't mean that we become great in the eyes of this passing world, so others bow and scrape before us like slaves and we revel in the colorful trinkets of this world. Our true greatness is to be found not by receiving the gifts of others, but by being ourselves a gift to others. And not just giving a part of ourselves, but laying down our lives for those Jesus calls his friends, which is the entire human race. Glorification isn't a gift God gives us after we've received the other four Lenten presents. It is the result when we stop using gifts and become a gift. And that result is not just yet another gift, but when and how we participate in the essence of the gift giver. Saint Irenaeus once wrote, "The true glory of God is man fully alive." I want you to think about what that means. What gives glory to God is you being the best version of yourself in him that you can be. How amazing and wonderful is that? That is his true glory. You. You know, God has no need of our praise and our offerings and even our austere Lenten penances. He doesn't need any of that. We need that. When we die to self and learn how to live as God lives, not according to the logic of sin, but the weight of grace. That gives glory to God, who invites us not just to look on with awe at an empty tomb a few days from now, but to reign with him in glory and majesty and honor forever.